As we begin our program, I'm very happy to welcome to our show tonight and welcome back Eric LeCompte. He's executive director of the group known as Jubilee USA Network. Eric, thank you so much for being on our program tonight.
Scott, it's great to be with you again.
And Eric, we are going to focus on the topic of the disaster in Puerto Rico and the debt that makes recovery all that much more difficult. But before we get into that, I wanted just to get some of your thoughts and feelings on the situation in Las Vegas and what it means to you and what message you have for our audience this evening that might give people some solace or direction.
Well, I don't know if I can offer really any solace or direction. I think I have many questions about what happened, as I'm sure many of the listeners do tonight. It's absolutely horrific. It's tragic, and it's so saddening. It's so depressing that we are facing another tragedy like this in our country. And we at Jubilee, we are a coalition of religious groups that work on protecting vulnerable communities and protecting people. So we really pray in a special way for all of those affected by tonight's tragedy or today's tragedy in Las Vegas. And not only pray for healing, but also pray for some justice.
Thank you for that, Eric. Tell us a word about the work you do at Jubilee USA Network, and then we'll certainly get into our topic this evening about Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Well, Jubilee USA, we are an organization that was founded in the late 1990s by religious groups, development groups around the world focused on building an economy that serves, protects, and promotes the participation of the most vulnerable. So our members, our founders range from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops to American Jewish World Service to Islamic Relief and most of the mainline churches. And through our efforts working with Congress, the White House, the G20, the United Nations, the International Monetary Fund over the years, we've won more than $103 billion in debt relief. And global policies where that money has been used to build social infrastructure in the developing world, hospitals, schools, education systems. 54 million kids are going to school in Africa because of debt relief, countries that were too indebted to pay the costs of education. So our organization works on trade, tax, debt policies, global structural policies that impact poverty. And when we change those policies, we can lift millions of people out of poverty because of these policies that impact our lives.
Thank you for that, Eric. In talking about the ongoing disaster relief and recovery in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, there's certainly been a lot of discussion in recent days assessing the federal response to Hurricane Maria and the devastation it wrought on both Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. How would you assess the response of FEMA and the federal government in general?
Well, generally, it's hard to say whether or not the response has been adequate. I know that in many ways, with how devastating the situation is, we're still really assessing how bad it is. I think the reality is that we have faced a situation of optics where it has seemed that parts of the federal government have not cared as much about the American citizens that are living on the island of Puerto Rico. And, you know, our work at Jubilee USA with Puerto Rico really began not only with our coalition, but with our religious partners on the island, the Archbishop of San Juan, Puerto Rico, the major evangelical leader on the island. It was 2 years ago our work began with them, and it was focused really on another crisis, another type of humanitarian crisis that we saw. And that was that there was a debt crisis. The island, $72 billion in debt, dealing with severe austerity policies. 300 schools had closed. Emergency medical facilities were no longer open. We saw police getting cut. And at the time, we really saw what happened there in terms of how the financial crisis was being dealt with, Congress's role in that, the U.S. government's role in that, in some ways as a humanitarian crisis. And over the years, we worked with Puerto Rico, worked with the governor, with Congress, and won bipartisan legislation to start to be able to restructure the debt. And now this hurricane has hit. Already when we're dealing with an island population where nearly 60% of kids are living in poverty, we have these hurricanes that devastate the island, and the island is ill-prepared because of the financial crisis it's had. And then we're dealing with a situation with the federal government post-hurricanes where not only is there a process going on to restructure the debt, but we want to ensure that aid is getting to Puerto Rico in the same way it got to Texas and Florida, to the American citizens living there. And it seems in many ways that type of aid is moving forward. I think one of the greatest challenges we're looking at in the current moment is the U.S. Virgin Islands, which is getting much less publicity, has an equally bad financial crisis in terms of the amount of debt per person, child poverty rates, other issues in terms of austerity, and really no process to kind of restructure their debt as Puerto Rico has. So it's a tragic situation that between Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, it's 3.5 million Americans that are being impacted and that are in desperate need of this recovery aid.
Eric, it's an unpleasant topic, but I did want to get your reaction to what seemed a bizarre, callous, and just totally it's hard to describe Donald Trump's Twitter attacks on the people of Puerto Rico as lazy, which is certainly what he indicated in several tweets, and his specific attack on the mayor of San Juan, who made a desperate plea for help for her people who had not received basics like water and telecommunications for those who were in desperate need and had not been reached by help at that point. What's your observations of Donald Trump and where he took this line of, if you could call it a dialogue, on Twitter?
It's hard to say, but, you know, I think one of the challenges that we've faced at Jubilee USA and all of our work around Puerto Rico, and not only our work with the White House, but also with Congress, is that a lot of people don't realize that the people that live in Puerto Rico are U.S. citizens. And unfortunately, in many ways, they are treated as second-class citizens. I think one of the challenges that we are facing right now in terms of Puerto Rico is its political status. And, you know, we work with many different groups on the islands, and our partners have very particular views, but there is a lack of political status on the island. Some people would want to see it become an independent country. Others on the island would like to see it become a state. But it doesn't actually have a voting member of Congress, although it does have a member of Congress, just like Washington, D.C. members, a member of Congress. That member of Congress cannot vote. It also does not have senators as a territory. And because it's not an independent country either, it can't really make its own overall laws to deal with much of its political and economic situation. So in part, I think some of what's revealed in the tweets from President Trump is at times what seems to be some ignorance among people in the United States that the people living in Puerto Rico are American citizens and have the same rights to protection and being a part of the United States that those of us have who live in the 50 U.S. states.
We're speaking with Eric LeCompte. He's executive director of the Jubilee USA Network. We're talking about the situation in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. And thanks again, Eric, for joining us tonight. I know you're focused a lot on relief, both in the immediate and long term for the people of Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Eric, summarize for us, if you would, Jubilee USA Network's call for debt relief for the people of Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. What specifically would you like to see the U.S. Congress do in regards to debt relief?
Well, in particular, we definitely want the bankruptcy process in Puerto Rico to continue to move forward. And that process is going to take into account the devastation of the hurricane and ensure a higher haircut in terms of the debt. In terms of the aid that comes from the United States, that comes from the federal government, we want it to be robust in the form of grants that goes in terms of relief aid to Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. We don't want Puerto Rico or the U.S. Virgin Islands to have to get more debt in order to finance its reconstruction and recovery. It's also absolutely imperative that the aid that comes in is sufficient to rebuild Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands in ways that are going to be able to withstand what seem to be more powerful and more frequent storms in this moment of our history. And I think it's also absolutely critical that Congress, as it develops its final relief package for Puerto Rico, that Congress also makes sure that there are financing needs that are met for Puerto Rico. Unfortunately, right now, American citizens that live in Puerto Rico, if they fly to the United States as American citizens, anyone from Puerto Rico can, they get the same level of Medicaid, Medicare spending, child tax benefits that people live in the United States. But if you live in a territory, you get a smaller level. So that's a very particular financing issue that Congress can tackle right now in its relief package as it moves forward. And the final piece that we and our partners in Puerto Rico are advocating, and it actually impacts many of the Caribbean islands that have been devastated by the storms, from Puerto Rico to the U.S. Virgin Islands to the countries of Antigua and Barbuda and Dominica, is that we really believe it's incumbent on Congress to pass greater laws around budget transparency, responsible lending and borrowing, because these types of laws prevent financial crisis. These types of laws actually secure protections in the markets, not only for the U.S. citizens living in Puerto Rico and U.S. Virgin Islands, but also in U.S. states and foreign countries, because much of the world's debt is actually contracted through New York law.
Eric, what is the prospect that we'll have a Republican-controlled Congress and Donald Trump as president be predisposed to sign into law some of these debt relief measures, given the hostility we've seen, particularly from the White House?
Well, in terms of Puerto Rico, the bankruptcy process that, in effect, was passed last year with strong support from Republican leadership and Democratic leadership, and then signed into law by President Obama. And not only did that legislation delay debt payments for Puerto Rico in particular, that legislation is also what created this super bankruptcy process, the only bankruptcy process in U.S. history that has the ability to restructure all of Puerto Rico's debt. So in terms of Puerto Rico, they have access to this debt relief process right now, which is very positive. Unfortunately, we are dealing with a different situation with the U.S. Virgin Islands, where it's much more difficult for them to access this legislation. And in whatever relief package comes together for the U.S. Virgin Islands, in some way Congress needs to deal with the debt. At this point, we don't know what that could possibly look like, but we're trying to engage Congress to include that in the package for the U.S. Virgin Islands because they absolutely don't have the resources to pay debt at this point.
Eric, what can our listeners do at this point? What would you recommend people who are very much alarmed and if their heart's going out to the people of Puerto Rico struggling with this disaster? What's an effective way they can help in the short term and the long term?
Well, in the short term, I think it's absolutely critical that we do let Congress know, that we let the U.S. government know that being able to resolve the situation in Puerto Rico also means that we have to resolve the financial crisis. And listeners can go to our website, www.jubileeusa.org. Again, that's jubileeusa.org. And we have a petition that's up, which actually is going to the International Monetary Fund in order to secure debt relief and protections for Caribbean countries devastated by Irma and Maria, like Antigua and Barbuda, and the island of Dominica, a developing country totally devastated by Hurricane Maria. And that petition also goes to the White House and the Congress and to those involved in the bankruptcy process and the governance on the island of Puerto Rico, calling for debt relief as well as to ensure that the island gets the proper amount of aid and grants. So when you go to www.jubileeusa.org, jubileeusa.org, you can take action there. But more long-term, we need to understand that we really need to have greater shifts in U.S. policy around lending and borrowing because ultimately these financial crises that many of these islands are experiencing were already in existence and now just made worse by the hurricane. And we need to get to a point where we have standards and protections in place so that when economies face financial crisis or debt crisis, there are tools to help resolve these crises that impact poor people more quickly.
Eric, thank you for all that you're doing out there to focus people's attention on the debt relief problem as key to the future for Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, as well as islands like Dominica and Barbuda and Antigua. Thank you so much for spending time with us. And leave our listeners with a web address one more time, if you would.
JubileeUSA.org.
Jubilee.
Thanks, Scott.
USA.
Great to be with you tonight.
Appreciate it, Eric. Thank you for all you do. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Eric LeCompte, Executive Director of the Jubilee USA Network, talking with us about the dire situation in Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, and other islands in the Caribbean devastated by hurricanes Irma and Maria this hurricane season.